Goldman Sachs just reported their latest quarterly numbers, and you need to hear about it. What's going on, apes? Welcome to the 5-Minute Peel with Wall Street Oasis. Today, we are breaking down everything and anything related to Goldman Sachs and their latest earnings report for the first quarter of 2024. Now, we got the party kickstarted last week with JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Citigroup, all reporting their numbers for the first quarter of this year as well. The market completely threw up. Those banks absolutely shit the bed, but Goldman managed to put a smile on shareholders' faces. So let's go ahead and find out exactly why. You apes know how this goes already. Let me go ahead and get my trusty Word document pulled up and we can start to break these numbers down. Keep in mind, apes, when we're talking about earnings reports, we're not assessing the company in its entirety. We're just talking about the most important numbers and trends that we picked up on in their latest numbers and in the release that they published here. So most important thing we want to focus on first is how the company performed against expectations. They're expected to have EPS or earnings per share of about $8.56 and revenue of $12.92 billion. They smoked those expectations with EPS coming in nearly 36% above what those expectations were at $11.58 per share. Revenue destroyed estimates as well, beating by about 10% at $14.21 billion. For context, JP Morgan, they beat on the EPS side by about 8% and on the revenue side by 4%. So Goldman is completely dominating expectations, especially in relation to the banks that reported last week. Now, if we scroll down, we can start to see exactly why that is. Solid revenue growth of about 16.27%. One of the most important line items there, however, was going to be this global banking and market segment. This hit $2.08 billion, grew nearly 32% for the year. And that is huge for Goldman as well, because this is where they earn those investment banking fees. And Goldman completely dominated the M&A market in the first quarter. They were number one in total deals that they were involved in and in total value of those deals for the entire globe. So very solid quarter for the douchebags at Goldman Sachs. This was also a huge sign of the turnaround strategy that the company is employing. After the pandemic, they started to shift more towards Main Street. They were trying to get average everyday poor loser consumers like you and me to go and use their Marcus platform. They have basically since shut down that entire business, or they're scaling it back dramatically and are refocusing once again on Wall Street. And it seems to be working out well for them, at least so far this quarter. Now, if we take a look at FICC, which is fixed income currencies and commodities, we can see this grew about 10%. This is kind of their trading business. And Citigroup's very similar business, so they're kind of like competitor to this line item at Citi, actually saw revenue fall 10% for the first quarter. So basically what Goldman did is take a little walk down the street over to Citi's offices and completely just eat their lunch right off the table in front of them. So very good job once again by the douchebags employed by David Solomon. All right, then the asset and wealth management division revenue came in at about $3.8 billion. Very sizable growth at about 18%, but this was actually hugely disappointing because this was the one revenue line item that came up below what investors were expecting. And this is Goldman's big area for growth going forward as well. So seeing that as the one line item that came short of expectations, very disgusting. Not what investors wanted to see at all, especially when one of the biggest segments under this line item grew by about 93% over the year. Now, a lot of this was due to Q1 2023. This is when they marked down the loan portfolio for Marcus, which has since been sold off, mostly sold off. So that growth, it's a little bit fake. It's kind of artificial, but still very solid to see. Platform Solutions had very solid growth as well, especially in customer platforms. So this is still that Marcus offering and other stuff that they're trying to shield to the poor losers like you and me. But still, we saw a huge decline in net interest revenue at the same time, down to $1.6 billion, falling nearly 10%, a little bit over 9.7% there. So a little bit of difficulty on the interest rate side, poor duration management because the other banks saw increases in their interest revenue. However, because total operating expenses grew so little at only 3.05%, they were able to absolutely kill it on the net income side of things and saw nearly 30% growth on that bottom line. So a little bit rocky parts there, and I'm sure they would have preferred different performance for different segments of the business, but still overall very solid. So let's summarize things here. So the FICC performance, this was largely led by a lot of mortgage issuance. And that's really because Goldman deals with very rich clients. That's their bread and butter. And those are the people who can actually afford houses in the current state of this housing market. They also saw very high card activity from their consumers, which again, very low risk of default for a company like Goldman because all of their consumers are billionaires, it feels like. Or they're at least the people who want you to think that they're billionaires, that they're wearing Patagonias and driving fucking tricked out Dodge Hellcats or whatever the fuck people are doing these days. I'm too poor to even understand. Now, they did smash their provision for credit losses down to just $318 million. A lot of this, once again, was due to the sale of the Marcus loan portfolio. So a lot of that provision for losses just goes along with that. Like I said, they led global banking markets and M&A. Their fees backlog was decreased just a little bit. So, of course, they kind of front-ran a lot of that stuff. So the backlog of investment banking fees that they're going to expect to earn is a little bit reduced, but investors couldn't care less, at least right now. They increased debt underwriting advisory as well as IPOs. And once again, they are basically turning away from Main Street, where they were trying to lean into a little bit with Marcus, and going back to Wall Street, and it seems like it's working out so far. Just to highlight a couple other things about the business that we wanted to point out. First and foremost, this is basically the growth trajectory of the asset and wealth management revenue for the company. Going pretty well over time. It was a tough decline this past quarter, especially given that equity markets were rising. So we kind of expect to see this quote-unquote assets under supervision line working out well for Goldman. Really wasn't, only grew by about $36 billion for the quarter, which is way less than many expected. But still, they saw solid gains in private investments. They saw gains in lending and leverage finance. So a little bit of the ancillary areas that are good for the very high net worth individuals to be using. That's kind of what they were seeing a run up in, and not those lower end rich people, I guess, if that's what we want to call it. Last thing we want to point out is the return on equity spike that they saw in the latest quarter. So really, since COVID came around, or since the pandemic turnaround started, Goldman's return on equity has been dropping like a rock as well. So seeing it get back up to this double digit, nearly 15% range was a huge vote of confidence from investors. All right, WSO's rating. What do we think we're going to say about this going on right now? We got to slap 4 out of 5 bananas on this thing. I mean, that's easily an overweight. That's what we gave to JP Morgan. The numbers are even better at Goldman over here. Now, the reason that this isn't getting 5 out of 5 bananas is because 5 out of 5 is reserved for perfection. It's going to take a lot to get up to that 5 point, but Goldman is definitely the one that's come closest to it so far. Be overweight this thing. Consider getting it into your portfolio. Keep in mind, this is absolutely in no way financial advice. I'm a complete moron. And if you take advice from me, you are even dumber. So best of luck to everybody out there. Keep an eye on the rest of the week because we got Bank of America earnings tomorrow and a whole bunch of other asset managers that we'll be talking about in the coming days. Let us know what other companies you want to see down below. And otherwise, love you all. Have a great rest of your day, apes. Happy investing. Happy trading. Bye now.